I love Kuminga, but he's not ready for that type of money.
Oscar, I love your optimism. I do love your optimism. I'm just looking at the next seven for the Warriors, and it's a pivotal seven because you don't want to fall too far behind in this Western Conference. The Lakers are better, Oscar. The Mavericks are better. The Suns are better. The Clippers are surprised us winning 2 and 3, and they played the Suns very tough in the home opener. So how long can the Warriors navigate without Stephen Curry, De'Anthony Melton, and Andrew Wiggins? Andrew Wiggins is out today, Oscar. That's 20 points. Stephen Curry, you know he's good for 25, and then Melton's gone. That's a lot of production that you're missing tonight against a Pelicans team that's looking to get back on track.
Okay, let me say something. That's why we want to see we got strength in numbers, and these boys we got on our team, they're going to play, man. And we will see. That's why it's good early in the year we can reevaluate and see what we got. But I'm going to tell you right now, don't count out the Warriors youngsters, man, because I've been watching them since they've been playing. They're just as good as the Pelicans. And I know the Warriors are going to win tonight. They're going to win tomorrow. And Steph will be back and Andrew will be back. They're better, man. We're a better team this year. Remember that. We are a better team, too. Y'all have a good day, my man.
All right.
Well, tonight and tomorrow are going to be very interesting games. I can't wait to see Zion. I was writing a list of players. They're not the best players in their sport, but most watchable, and Zion's at the top of my list.
Zion's on the top of the list in terms of all the NBA?
No. In terms of, if I know my team's playing them, I'm excited. Not that, again, Mahomes is the best player in the NFL, but when we play Arizona, I like watching Kyler.
Kyler's playing well,
too. When Kyler's on red zone, I'm like, yeah, keep it on here. I want to watch it. I want to see him run around. Do I think he's the best quarterback in the league? No, not even close. But he's fun. He's hella fun to watch.
Kyler's playing some damn good football.
Right? For example, you brought up Luka. Luka's really good. There are times I get annoyed watching Luka because of the way he's arguing and crying and whining, and it can get annoying. James Harden's another guy. He's an annoying watch for me, right? I think that when it's all said and done, Harden's going to have a better career than Zion, right? But Zion, to me, is more fun. There's something fun about watching Zion.
Yeah, I mean, there is something fun. But
he's so explosive.
He's explosive. We'll get into it with Antonio Daniels and 920 about Zion.
He doesn't do it for you?
He did. He did. But right now, and nobody's going to pick this player. This guy had 37 points yesterday in the first half. He dropped a 50-burger. Paolo Banchero is the best player nobody talks about.
Well, I mean,
that's what gets me going. His mid-range game, his three-point shot, his playmaking ability. Zion, I've been a little underwhelmed so far in his NBA career. That's just me.
I think everyone has.
That's just me.
Because the hype hasn't met the...
Right.
The play hasn't met the hype. That I agree with. But in terms of, being fascinated to watch, you're not fascinated to watch him still?
He's fine. I mean, yeah, I'm not as fascinated as I thought I would be.
That's interesting.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know why. I'm fascinated with Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
That fascinates me. He fascinates me because he's going to talk that talk, and he's going to bob threes, and he's going to duck on your head. Jokic, I know I'm in the minority here. That guy fascinates me. Because he does bring the ball up the floor. He does initiate offense. He does hit the three.
Three-time MVP.
Yeah, but last year when we talked about Jokic, everybody said they get bored watching him.
Well, that's kind of where I'm going. I think there's a difference.
But see, yeah, I get fascinated by him. I'm like, how is he going to do it tonight? He doesn't have muscles. You know what I'm saying? Mm. He's out there wearing SpongeBob underwear. Hashtag pause.
His skill is unreal.
Exactly. That fascinates me. I was fascinated by Tim Duncan. Not a lot of people were.
How many people are taking Lamar Jackson over Mahomes? Probably not many. But yet, I find Lamar to be a fascinating watch.
I love
watching him.
Yeah, I think they're both fascinating. Lamar Jackson's not happy at the end of that game, by the way.
Bateman dropped the perfect pass. I mean, a great example is in Major League Baseball, Bobby Witt Jr. I don't think he's the best player in the league, but man, I love watching him play.
No doubt. There's
something about the way he plays the game, his swing, he stops swinging. Shohei, I think, is that way for a lot of people.
Yep. Mookie Betts is like that for me, though.
Good, great call.
You know what I'm saying? Stanton has kind of had a rebirth here. And I do get fascinated with the way Stanton swings.
And the way he runs the bases.
Well,
he's had hammy issues, leg issues. Tough spot to be in. tough spot to be in. You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HC1 San Francisco, the Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Now, we're going to get to Baldy at 7:30. I don't know. Did you see Spadoni and Lubman's outfits as we take everybody inside the studio?
No.
No, they had these crazy outfits on, and Lubman was like, ask us why we're wearing these outfits. So I asked him, he goes, no, do it on air. Do it on air. So now I'm doing it. So why were you guys wearing the crazy outfits, Lubman and Spadoni?
Well, Spadoni is wearing a bunch of Warrior gear today, and I'm wearing a bunch of Niner gear today because we, for our Halloween costume contest today at the station, decided to dress as you guys for the costume contest. So yeah. We're getting into the spirit of things. Yeah, I lent Spadoni some Warrior stuff because
he's wearing a flat brim Warrior hat.
He's got a lot of Laker stuff, so obviously, you know,
I'm buying a lot of stock in D'Anthony Melton, Andrew Wiggins, Brandon Pajemski, and I was listening on the David Sampson podcast last night. David Sampson, there you go.
See, that's our Bonte.
And we're talking over each other too. So there you go.
Oh. Spadoni, I can't argue with you.
That's pretty good.
We've been watching the film too.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
We've been watching the film. All 22. I actually now
it's been really worrying me watching all this film. Oh, that was a great cutoff right there.
I now want to hear you both have good. A segment like you or us right now. Just a minute.
We just did. There you go.
Tee it up. One more minute.
Here, one more minute.
Yeah, go.
One more minute. Go.
Oh boy. Well, Joe Shasky.
Bonte, I gotta be honest with you, man. I am really concerned about where things are going with the Warriors here right now. I mean, without Steph out, I'm really, really worried. Like, David Sampson was saying last night.
You're always worried. Okay.
Am I wrong? No, you're always worried. Am I wrong to be worried?
Yes. This team has won.
They don't have Steph.
They've had four championships, Joe Shasky. Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr has lost. He's done. He's gone. Championship head coach.
The way we treat Steve Kerr in this market, when you compare him, what has Kyle Shanahan ever done? Have you seen what Steve Kerr has done?
Everyone likes to ride on Shanahan.
He won a gold medal.
Miss me with that big game nonsense.
And they still want him out of town.
It's just, you know what? Let's just be glad that Farhan's gone. Ugh, I can't take it anymore. 3-1-1.
I'm actually excited about the Giants.
Oh, that's pretty good. That was pretty good. Hey, give you guys standing ovation. That was pretty good.
I was right about Buster Posey, by the way. I've actually been right about mostly everything this year. I've actually never been wrong in the history of ever.
I haven't said that. Calm down, Spadoni.
But even when I'm wrong, I'm really right. Yes. And I'm always winning.
I've had enough.
No, it's... Whenever I lose, I still win.
Thanks, LeVar.
Dart, dart, dart.
Oh, dude, you guys are crushing us.
It's 405 Comcast Business Text. I says, you got to yell, I'm happy with Steve Kerr.
I am happy with Steve Kerr.
I am happy with Brock Purdy.
Oh. By the way, how about those Padres? God, I love the Padres. I so wish I could be the Padres. Ugh. Don't get me started on Mike Silver.
You see how much fun they have, Joe Shasky? You see how much just fun they're having at the... It's like, you want to go to a game there. I go to a Giants game, and I'm paid for a Giants game ever, but, you know, when I go there, you know, it's fun, you know, baby Chez, you know, Anna, they're having a good time, but... I just don't feel it.
Got the little guy. I'm watching the Giants Steelers game last night. Why do we keep putting Daniel Jones on TV? It is ridiculous. Like, it's just no one wants to see the Giants anymore. I am so out on the New York Giants. It's ridiculous. I don't get it.
If I have to watch Daniel Jones one more time, stop putting him. It's driving me insane. Stop putting him in standalone games.
You sound like Batman.
No, the guy is so garbage. Alex Smith thinks he sucks. All right, like, I don't want to watch him anymore. Poor Brian Daboll. I mean,
another shot fired at Alex.
Wow, is that me or Shasky doing that one?
Dude, that's pretty good.
I wanted Spadoni to come in as you were saying about the Padres. Be like, I'd rather be the Tigers.
I would rather be the Tigers. Yeah, that would actually make sense. I mean,
the Tigers have made a playoff run, man. They're actually pretty good.
I mean, AJ Hinch, he's a championship level manager. He's won in Houston before. He went to Stanford. He knows his things, all right?
You guys crushed us.
6-5-0.
That's pretty good.
I will not go to a game this year.
I bought to Hill. Will never lie to you ever again.
408 Comcast Business Text Line. Have them drop a movie reference. Oh, that's Shasky. You forgot the Star Wars reference.
You know, I was watching Back to the Future 2 the other day, which I think is the best one of all of them. You know, when they go to the future, Biff and everything. It's just great stuff. So me and little guy LJ, we were watching it, and the Gray Sports Almanac, Bonte. If you had a Gray Sports Almanac, what is the first thing you would bet on? 888-957-9570.
Oh, man. I'm going to go to break now because I'm cracking up. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Baldy at 7:30 as we segue back into some
football.
Does
Zion still do it for you guys? Honestly. Man. No, be yourselves now.
He was in that playing game against the Lakers. He was awesome. And then what happened? What always happens to Zion? He gets hurt. Sooner or later, like, I can't keep rooting for the guy getting my hopes up because he's just going to get hurt.
Yeah, I'd probably echo that. It's just he has all the tools to be that guy. I mean, the last couple years, I think Warrior fans have been kind of side-eyeing Zion on his like
2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes.
Oh, look at you. Good good Sam Lovin impersonation right there.
Lovin'd him.
I love it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we just need to get the redheaded wig in here.
Break.
See, I'm going to keep talking so we blow through the break as a way to stay in character. So Zion, he just, you know, he shows all that potential. I know Warrior fans, they've been kind of looking at him as being like, maybe go get that guy.
You
but
better
it's
be
just...
careful that he can sit there. You don't got the juice that we have in here, Lovin'. I'm just telling you. You don't got that equity.
Did we get the legal?
We did get the legal.
Oh, that's good.
Baldy coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Celebrating 60 years.
That was really
full
funny.
Full service banking with no compromises. I would rather be the White Sox.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldy with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
That was a hell of a segment. J-Dub. He's been traveling with the Stafford Cardinal, our friend Jordan Watkins, said that was a segment of the year. So nominate that bad boy for the Doobie Awards. Maybe Spadoni loved it. What will it Doobie? Have you found a location yet?
I mean, I've got a couple that I sent over to the boss.
You got a good
Yeah, we don't want those. I already know where those are at. Come on. We need something extravagant. All right.
I know people.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you're the guy that's got the hookup at Chase Center.
But
the problem is if like six people show up at empty Chase Center, we're going to look like fools.
Yeah, no, that's why we can't do that.
We get some seat fillers.
No, we love it. Relax. We ain't there yet.
I said what I said.
We're not there yet. I'm trying to think. I think my idea is the best idea. You guys are just so damn nervous.
Adam, it's too much for me.
Yeah, it's the most understated line of this show.
I'm telling you, it's a home run hit. It's a grand slam. Hashtag Freddie Freeman. What did I say? I say something wrong?
Oh, did I get fooled on that?
I'm just listening.
I'm saying, you know, you tell Doreen. I know we could go to Jax.
Wait. You guys missed the other home run that happened yesterday. You guys didn't hear it from John Sterling, WFAN?
And the breaking ball, there it goes! Deep left center field, and Teoscar is there to make the catch. Oh, did I get fooled on that. What with that swing and the ball majestically going to left field, Susan, I actually thought it was going to be out, and it wasn't close.
God love him.
You know,
he's the best.
With the Dodgers on the brink of basically winning the World Series and sweeping the Yankees and validating the last 12 years of excellence, I thought it would be make me more angry. Like, but I'm not that angry about just the Giants situation. And the reason being is, like, they did what I wanted them to do. They got rid of Farhan, and they're turning the page. And, yeah, we're at our low point right now. It's not even the lowest low point, but we're at our low point right now, and it's not our time to win right now. Like, and I think when we're good, it's going to happen. When we're good, all right, it's going to be that much sweeter because they're all going to be out of their primes, and we're going to be the team to knock them off.
So what, 3 years from now?
I don't know. Maybe 2 years from now.
Oh, boy.
I mean, no, look, the Padres just had them this year. They had an opportunity to knock them out, and they didn't grasp their moment. Now, maybe the Padres beat them, but it's not like the Dodgers weren't vulnerable.
Yeah, Yamamoto is going to be back next year. He's only he's 26 right now. Maybe they find another closer. Kopech's 28 years old. Trident's 36. So maybe they move off from Trident. They got to make a decision on Walker Buehler, who's 30 years old. But boy, he looked excellent yesterday. What did they do with Jack Flaherty, right? They're going to get pitching. Mookie Betts is still playing at a very high level. Where's Shohei going? Where is Shohei going? Shohei Ohtani. He's not going anywhere. He's 30, and he's going to be hitting massive bombs next year. Max Muncy, we always think he's going to slow down at some point. Well, he hasn't. Will Smith is only going to get better. Like, this Dodgers team's going nowhere.
They're older, though. I don't know.
But they're older, but, you know.
This is their opportunity.
But here's the thing about the Dodgers, too, though. They will attract stars. They are always in play. They had the rumor. Now, Jeff Passan knocked it down. He deflected it. Better than Dikembe Mutombo, rest in peace. But he basically said, no, Juan Soto and the Dodgers rumors are not real. But would it surprise you if all of a sudden Juan Soto ended up in Dodger blue? No, it wouldn't. So they're going to be in the mix on every big-time superstar for the foreseeable future. So we got our work cut out for us. So, yeah, I am a little ticked off that they're winning.
There's no doubt they have their work cut out.
It validates Dave Roberts. It validates Andrew Friedman. And we're the laughing stock by thinking that, oh, we took Farhan Zaidi, the real architect of the Dodgers. And it was an absolute joke.
Yeah, but I've turned the page on that part. Like, look, now's the time for us to start getting better. And we're the plucky upstart here. We don't have a lot of long-term commitments. You got Chapman in third for the next couple of years. You got Logan Webb. You got some promising pitchers. All I'm saying is, I thought I'd be angrier that the Dodgers. I would be furious if we stuck with Farhan and the Dodgers were doing this.
Sure, you're not going to get furious when they pop champagne.
I mean, look, it sucks.
You're not going to get furious where 10 years ago when we won the championship against the Royals, or we the Giants won the championship against the Royals 10 years ago. That the Dodgers are now sweeping the New York Yankees.
Look, it's not ideal, but now we know where we need to go. Now we know where we need to aim our sights on, which is the top of the entire sport, which is what the Dodgers are right now. They're going to be at the top of the entire sport. And
I hear you.
I would rather Would you rather that or I want to chase, you know, just hypothetically, the Atlanta Falcons? You know what I mean? Like, no, I want to go to the top of the sport. I want to see the Giants take out the LA Dodgers because they're going to end up winning the World Series, and it's going to take time, and we're going to be the David to their Goliath, and just hopefully. So be it. Let's do
hopefully, but they got to leapfrog the Diamondbacks, they got to leapfrog the Padres, then you got to leapfrog the Dodgers. I hear you. Have no choice but to play the long game here. You have no choice, but I'm going to be ticked off when they pop champagne either tonight, tomorrow, or when they get back to L.A. if the series does get extended. Like, they've addressed the Yankees. Addressed them. And they're playing and Shohei and Mookie at the top of their lineup with Freddie Freeman, who's not slowing down. And you know they're going to get some young studs at some point to come. And they're going to replenish their talent. Who's not going to win a bat around Shohei? Oh, no, by the way, Shohei's going to pitch next year.
Well, again, I mean, he's had multiple Tommy Johns. We'll see.
He has, but he's
touch and go.
He'll be back on the mound with Yamamoto.
Look, they're world beaters. That's why they're going to win the World Series. I don't deny that.
But you know what? It ticks me off because now I got to hear LA fans. LA fans are annoying. I get a text every day from Aaron Rivera after the game. Ha ha. You still want to wear that Yankee hat? Jason Jones from The Athletic. We are our good friend, Jason Jones. Comments on every tweet. Oh, you're not loving the World Series?
But
Dodger fans are like Laker fans. They're annoying as hell. So it does tick me off when they win.
But it's going to be that much sweeter when the Giants develop a couple of guys like Bryce Eldridge, and those guys come through the system, and we eventually take them out. I'm telling you, man.
Well, that's a hope.
It is a hope. Trust me. Believe me. I know. I sound ridiculous.
We're wishing upon a star right now.
There's no easy fix for the Giants. And now with this team winning the World Series, the Dodgers, I'm doubling down on it. You can't just go out and spend flippantly. Like, yes, they need to add to what they have.
DeFarm's gotta get better.
Just spend flippantly. They need to be smart and shrewd and continue to develop from within.
There's no doubt they need to develop. That's how the Dodgers started rolling. That's how they're able to trade for these guys, Mookie Betts and company, and the Trey Turners of the world and the Max Scherzers of the world who moved on because they had a bunch of assets in the minors. And you know what? I couldn't even name those prospects that they traded.
Oh, I can't. His name's Alex Verdugo.
Well, that's one.
He was in the lineup.
Yeah, he hit a two-run home run.
And there's a part of me that sees, like, when I look at the Warriors situation, and I'm like, you know, you talk about Moody and the Kamingas and whatnot. Trading an asset while it's still an asset is in part why the Dodgers are really smart. Verdugo was viewed as a certain asset, and they flipped him for one of the great players in the game. And he's a good player, Verdugo, but he pales in comparison to how great Mookie Betts is. And close. So when I look at like shrewd trades and things like that, like that's how you stay on top.
No doubt, no doubt. And so I'm going to be ticked off. I'm going to be really ticked off when they celebrate and win that championship. I've already heard from Darrell Wright multiple times. I'm sick of the Dodgers. I'm sick of them. And right now they have ownage. And when they do win this World Series, they're going to have the World Series patches on next year, World Series champs, and they're going to come to Oracle Arena, and Dodger fans are going to take it over. They're going to take it over like they have over the last 5 to 7 years, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse. So, yes, when they have the parade in L.A., and they're going to say, ha, can't say anything about our Mickey Mouse ring now. We got a legit one. Oh, I'm going to be furious. I'm going to be furious. So, this annoys me. And just because Farhan's gone, it's going to make me even angrier that we waited this long to fire Farhan. He should have gone the year before.
Yeah, but they did it, though. But yeah, I hear you. But they did it. And so, like, to me, like, okay, now's day one. And look, at, like, if you're Posey, you're taking over right now.
No doubt.
You got a fresh start, clean slate, and you're looking up. And the team that you try to go after is literally the best team in baseball.
All that is true. But it's still doesn't deter me from being angry at the Dodgers winning the World Series. Like, all that's the truth. I like where the Giants are at. They got rid of Farhan. All right, cool. Buster Posey's running the show. Cool. You re-signed Matt Chapman. Awesome. Helio Ramos. We'll see what type of player he is. This Bryce Eldridge kid's getting a lot of hype. All right, cool. I want to see it, right? I want to see what he does. You have Logan Webb. Birdsong. Not bad, but I want to see more. That's all fine and dandy. I'm cool with that. I'm with you there. But it still doesn't stop me from being pissed off that my bitter rival are light years ahead of you right now. And they have been really since 2015.
Well, they've got to jump multiple teams, too. It's not just it's the Dodgers.
Exactly. You've got the Padres and the Diamondbacks.
That being said, like, that's an older team, though. The Dodgers are an older team. Now is their time. There's no question about it. Now is their time. Our time's coming.
I hope so. When would that time be?
I don't know.
How patient will fans be?
So, I'll tell you this. It doesn't start with the Giants spending literally $1 billion on Juan Soto. They need to make some shrewd trades from within, move some of the assets they have, like a Marco Luciano right now, get anything you can. If there's a guy available in free agency that you could spend, good. Add him to the Chapman list. You got to have players. But there is no simple one-move fix everything for the Giants. Not. They have a long way to go.
But that's part of my frustration, too, is that it's not just the Dodgers. You have to leapfrog the Diamondbacks, who missed out on the playoffs on the last day of the season and were just in the World Series. And then, pardon me, and then you got the Padres, who have leapfrogged it. So it's not just, hey, let's aim for the Dodgers, they're getting older. The Diamondbacks are not older. They've got a young core. The Padres, they're alive and cooking. You know, so, I'm a little bitter this morning knowing that they're on the cusp of winning the World Series and the Giants are trying to figure out who the hell their general manager. Have they even hired a general manager yet? Yeah.
No. So. And I really haven't heard a lot of names that are being floated out. Not that we like know any of these names, but I haven't heard a lot of names being bandied about.
Shanahan yesterday, I don't know if you missed this, but he said he's given no thought to firing special teams coordinator Brian Schneider. Hasn't given no thought to it. As we talk a little Niners here, Baldy's going to join us in a moment. Let me know when we get Baldy connected here. We got sound on special teams. Let's go ahead and play it.
Yeah, we evaluate special teams every week, so there's not a lot that you're going to do a lot different in the bye. You know, we could add one more game to what we've been evaluating throughout it all. No concerns with Brian Schneider, if that's what you mean by that. I think that's what you're implying, and that hasn't entered my head at all. No, that hasn't entered my head at all. You know, I thought I was proud of us last night. I thought we were up against a huge challenge. I thought our guys played real hard and did a real good job controlling Turbin, who is one of the bigger game changers in this game. I think we've dealt with a lot of stuff on special teams, a lot of changing of people, a lot of young guys starting out to play who we've lost and having to replace them with new guys and working with a lot of different people. And I expect us to get better with that throughout the year. I know it hasn't been good enough in this first half, not at all. But I thought last night was a step in the right direction, and you're going to get better or worse from that, and I expect us to get better.
All right, so special teams needs to get better. Carlson not bad on Sunday.
Carlson's not bad at all.
Not bad.
Overall, I thought they did a much better job on special teams, all things considered, and it was a step in the right direction. It's just we can't go a week without blaming a coordinator for something.
Oh, that's the nature of the beast. Shanahan, where he thinks the team stands.
I feel we're capable of doing everything else we set out for. I look at where our team's at and where I think our team can be, and I don't think we're there yet. I think there's a lot of things we need to improve on. I think we are gradually doing that, but I think we got the guys here capable of doing it. We just got to make sure we become a better team in the second half than we were in the first half.
Well, and then the bigger news, who's coming back? Christian McCaffrey. Can we expect him to come back for Tampa Bay?
It depends how this week goes. I mean, he's had no setbacks, so it looks like we're on track, but he's going to hit it hard this week while we're gone and kind of simulate some practice stuff for himself. And as long as it all goes good, hopefully we'll get him back in practice next week.
Oh, how hard is it to keep him restrained?
I think it was tough at first, you know, when we did it in training camp and then felt like he was going to be ready for week one. And then after we decided to put him on IR, I think it's been pretty easy. You know, that's why we did decide to do that. So we knew it was going to be at least a month and shut him down for a while and now build him up slowly. And things have been going well. So now it's going to be nice to get him back, hopefully.
I just wonder what kind of player we're getting and for how long and what's it look like after week one.
I know.
Like, there's so many questions on the CMC thing. I have no idea what to expect.
Remember when Clay came back and every time he jumped and landed, you're like, oh. Well, every time McCaffrey makes a cut, I'm going to, like, move my Achilles. Say,
You didn't do that with Crabtree when he came back from the Achilles?
I don't remember doing that.
No. I did. I was like, he's getting slow getting in and out of his breaks.
This one with McCaffrey. Because back then, you know, before I was in the business, I always thought these guys are supermen. Oh, they're going to be fine. They're on the football field.
Achilles was like a death sentence back then.
No, it was a death sentence. But once they got back on the field, I was like, they're fine. They're good. But McCaffrey, every time he jumps, he hops, he cuts, he gets tackled, somebody lands on him. I'm like, uh-oh.
I wonder how they break down the load for him and Guerrero.
Well, Mason, I think you go three-headed monster.
Well, Mason's got to get the shoulder right.
You go three-headed monster. Now, what about our boy Drake Greenlaw? Mm-hmm. Don't forget about him.
No, I mean, we talk about a lot of stuff, and he's working through it, but I hate to give a rough timeline for you guys because we're not exactly sure of it. You know, I think it's, you know, once we get back from this bye week, I think he's going to be about week to week deciding whether we should get him back in the practice deal or not. But we'll see how this next week goes. We'll see when we get back from the bye week, and I think once it gets past the bye week, then we'll be looking each week on whether we should bring him back or not because it is getting closer.
It is getting closer for Drake Greenlaw. Now, what's the injury report heading into the bye week? How healthy are the 49ers? Seems like it's an all-day affair here on the Morning Rush with injuries. We're talking about the Golden State Warriors, who's in, who's out. Curry's out tonight. Melton's out tonight. Wiggins out tonight. Curry and Melton will get reevaluated on Friday. So they're going to be out for this doubleheader against the Pelicans. Wiggins, how long is he going to be out?
Could we get a Quentin Post sighting?
Mike, you're going to get a lot of Quentin Post.
I haven't seen him once.
You're going to get a lot of... Make it Lindy Waters a third.
Well, Kerr said he would start him.
I think we're going to see a lot of him tonight. He could flat out shoot. There's no doubt.
How big is he?
He's 6'5", 6'6".
Oh, he's that big. Okay.
Yeah. I was walking around media days. He's actually pretty tall. Let me get his.
I mean, you tower over a lot of the players on the team.
Yeah, 6'6".
Wow, he's that big.
Yeah, he's 6'6". Kyle Shanahan. Excuse me, not Kyle Anderson. Kyle Shanahan. What's the injury report looking like going into the bye week?
All right, guys, injuries from last night. Jordan Mason, he aggravated the same shoulder. We'll evaluate here after the bye. D. Winters is in the concussion protocol. Debo had a rib and an oblique strain. We'll evaluate next week after the bye. Renardo Green, ankle sprain, just day-to-day. Chris Conley, hamstring week-to-week.
So Conley, week-to-week. Renardo Green, day-to-day. Mason with the shoulder re-aggravation of the shoulder injury. So where is he going to be at after the bye week? Do they sign another running back? Do you elevate? I mean, we saw Patrick Taylor Jr. return some kickoffs on Sunday. What do you do? Why are you smiling? What's going on?
I'm just looking at Baldy's face on the screen, getting ready to listen to him.
Oh, so you're not listening to me? You're not listening to the injuries? Man. So afraid you are. Shark Week, hit me.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at the sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
All right, Baldy's ready to roll, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Brian Baldinger, presented by our proud partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Baldy, good morning to you. I know you're ready to roll here. Football's in full swing, and we're heading into November, man, where the champs will separate themselves from the chumps, and the separation starting here in the NFL, although we had a wacky and wild Sunday. Let's start with the 49ers and Cowboys, though, Baldy, and I know you watched the game over, and I watched the breakdowns on Twitter, or on X, yeah. I should say. Let's start with Kyle Shanahan. There's been a lot made about him and his game plans and whether or not he's still or whatnot. I thought he had a really good game plan for the Dallas Cowboys, running the football, play-action passes or whatnot. How would you assess Shanahan's performance Sunday as head coach of the 49ers and his offensive play calling?
I thought he was excellent. I thought he was really good. And I thought there would be a steady dose of runs. I mean, the Cowboys have now lost four games. And in those four losses, New Orleans, Baltimore, Detroit, and then San Francisco, they couldn't stop any of those teams from really running it. And to see, you know, the rookie Isaac Garendo, really, like, he's coming on. And you can see his speed, and he's starting to press the hole right now. And, you know, a lot of guys that are fast like that, they just want to use their speed. And they don't trust, you know, their vision as much. And he does that right now. And so that was a big difference. But, you know, look, the matchup with Kittle and Donovan Wilson for the big play, I thought they were excellent in the red zone. I thought all the way around it was a solid, solid game plan.
You know, I want to get back to Garendo here because I'm watching Mason. I'm a big Mason fan, and it felt like maybe he was missing the wrong holes or maybe choosing the wrong spot to cut back. I'm not as sophisticated as him as a runner. I don't know the offense as well. But it just felt like since the shoulder injury, he wasn't running with the same ferocity finishing runs as he had weeks prior. And Garendo's gotten better and better every single week. Now, put Mason to the side here. What specifically did you see from Garendo that you think is sustainable going forward, because he's got the juice?
Well, he's got, you know, he's got breakaway speed now. You saw that in the 76-yard run, I think, the week before. But, you know, he's got breakaway speed. I mean, he was the fastest back in the draft at 218 pounds. So, I mean, speed is – so they, yeah, you got that. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that have speed that don't know how to run. I mean, I just think he's got really good he's got really good feet. I don't know if he's as powerful as Mason is when he puts his head down and he steamrolls people the way you described, because that's how he was finishing those runs. But this guy is still, he's still a load, though. I mean, he's still big. And, you know, every running back has to kind of, like I remember blocking for different backs, and, you know, some backs would, you knew where they were going, and some backs, you just couldn't figure out where they were going. And I feel like the dance that every back has to do with the offensive line, I think the rhythm is starting to come with him, and you saw that. You saw that against Dallas.
Yeah, you've been all over Isaac Arendo there with that top-end speed. Reminded a lot of us of Raheem Mostert with the number 31 with that top-end speed. Once he gets a crease, he's gone here. We're talking to Baldy here on the River Islands guest line. I got to ask you about George Kittle, man. I know he sent you the Zinni glasses. We had him on when you were in studio. And, you know, I think people were writing his demise, basically saying, you know, maybe this is the last year of George Kittle. And I'm thinking to myself, John Lynch and company need to find a way to extend this guy. He's playing like one of the best tight ends in football. He's having a resurgence. He had a 1,000 yards last year. And just a tone setter, Baldy. We think about tone setters. This guy's not looking to run out of bounds. He's looking to run right through your face. And in a pass game, he still is good with the football in his hands with the run after the catch. Kittle's having an all-pro season, Baldy.
Well, that 43-yard catch and run, he was matched up with the safety, Donovan Wilson. You know, I mean, he ran away from the whole defense right there. And so, you know, George told me when he was a rookie, his tight end coach told him coming out of Iowa that you should never get tackled one-on-one, never. And he has that mentality. Like, he's going to run somebody over. He's going to stay on his feet. He's not going to go out of bounds. He's going to draw a little bit of blood every time he hits somebody. Like, he is a tone setter. He is a, you know, and he's having one of his best seasons. Now, he finished really strong last year. But, you know, he is their red zone offense when it comes to passing right now and what he can do. And so I think he's got a lot of football left. His blocking was outstanding the other day, and it still is. And so he takes a great deal of pride in it. It's a big part of their running success right now. And so he's indispensable with this team.
Yeah, I'm looking at the two receivers, Debo and Pearsall. I know Debo was utilized in a variety of ways in this one, but like, hey, without Brandon Ayuk, hey, what are these wide receivers going to look like? I thought Pearsall looked way better in this one, and maybe it was just because he was getting targeted. He made a really nice adjusted catch on that out play where Brock anticipated before he even broke. Such a great throw. And then Debo, they finally got him matched up on some linebackers out of the backfield. I thought Debo was awesome. I know he had the big touchdown called back, but without Brandon Ayuk for 1 week, what did it look like from these receivers?
It looked good. I mean, I think Pearsall could step into that role. I mean, he's not as polished, obviously, yet as what Ayuk has been, but he's a good route runner. He separates the out route you're talking about. He separates, and that's what you loved about him coming out of Florida, was his ability to just put the foot in the ground. I compared him and Ladd McConkey, like really, really similar between the two of them. McConkey leads the Chargers in receptions right now. And I feel like Pearsall could do a lot of the same things that McConkey's doing. I don't know if you had a chance to watch him yet.
Oh, yeah.
He had a great game last week. But like I thought they were both very similar. I thought Pearsall was a little stronger maybe than McConkey, but I thought they were very, very similar. And, you know, and I think that's what you're going to see as time goes on here with Pearsall.
Yeah, I see the vision with Pearsall here, and I think they could implement Jacob Cowing a little bit better. But we got to talk about the quarterback here. We've been talking to you for about 5 minutes now, Baldy, and I thought it was a tale of two halves. The first half, a little clunky at times. I did like the read, Debo Samuel, when he motioned about the backfield, and he got matched up on Kendricks there. But Brock Purdy, how would you assess his first 8 games of the season as the Niners, or Niner fans, I should say, not the Niners. Niners know who they have. But a lot of fans are skeptical of Brock Purdy on whether or not he is the guy. So kind of break this game down for us, Baldy, because it felt like a tale of two halves for Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a little uneven. He's obviously missed some throws that we think he should make. You know, when he gets a clean pocket and his feet are set and he's sailing a ball here or there, he's a little bit behind some guys. And, you know, you throw 7 interceptions, you know, in the first, 8 games, that's never going to sit too well with anybody, even if they're not all your fault. But he hasn't been stick accurate the way I think we have seen him in the past. He's not, but he's still getting the ball down the field. He's still averaging, you know, way over 8.5 yards an attempt. And anybody that's at 8.5 or higher is, you know, you're getting good, whether it's, you know, catch and run, or whether it's deep throws, whatever it is, I mean, you're getting explosive plays in the offense, and they're still getting a lot of explosive plays in the offense out of the passing game right now, and that's part of, you know, and you know, it's not like in Philadelphia they don't really throw the ball over the middle of the field, but he's asked to throw the ball over the middle of the field a lot, and those are, to a lot of people, those are kind of dangerous throws, especially if you're not Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you know, Joe Burrow, you're 6'5", and you're looking over the defense, you're a little challenged like he is. I think that, you know, I think he can play better, and I think he can be more consistent. And so,
you know, that's what I would look for in the second half. Now, I remember last year at this time they had lost three in a row.
Yep.
And, you know, before the bye. And then they came out of the bye, and they look like a completely focused team. And, they they'll be in Tampa next week. I'm going to be there announcing that game. I'm looking forward to it. But he's going to see a defense that's going to blitz them a lot. And different type of blitzes. Blitzes you don't normally see. A lot of combination blitzes, safety, linebacker, slot defender, safety. Like, you see a lot of combination pressures. And so I want to see how they kind of pick those up and how he handles that.
I'm looking at these two young safeties, Malik Mustafa and Jair Brown, and I thought they played really well. I know there were some missed tackles, and they're coming flying in trying to make huge plays. Look, Bob Sanders is one of the great players of all time, but like in terms of a small guy who is just going to run through someone's soul, Malik Mustafa squares guys up. It reminds me of shades of a guy like Bob Sanders. That's not who I'm saying that he is, because that's an unfair comp, but this guy's a ball player. And then Jair Brown seems to be really coming into his own. How did you think the two young safeties played in tandem in this game?
I thought they played great. I mean, you know, Tig gets the interception. You know, they're taking the ball away. You know, Mustafa reminds me of Buda Baker. Like, you know, Buda is just a cobra. Like, yeah. The way that he just comes full speed at you. Like, there's just no hesitation. That's how Malik is. I remember when Tig was coming out of Penn State, by the way, Penn State, Ohio State this week.
I know, Baldy. I know, Happy Valley.
You know, but, you know, I remember when I was doing some breakdowns of Jair coming out of Penn State, his head coach hit me up. And, you know, because he was, I want my safeties to take the ball away. And that's what he did at Penn State. You know, between interceptions and fumble recoveries, he was a ball machine. And you can't get enough of those type of guys on the field. And so, you know, it was good. You know, he had good range on that interception. And so I feel like the more he plays, the more he sees, the more angles, the better angles he's going to take. And I think he's going to start timing things up to take the ball away at a better rate right now, especially after that last game.
Yeah, but I'm a little ticked off about that Ohio State game. 9 a.m, man, it's too early for a game like that, man. That needs to be prime time, under lights, black, wide out for Penn State with those unis. All right, 9 a.m, man, it's too much intensity for 9 a.m, man. Anyway,
hey, don't get those college coaches started on that. They're already, they've been kind of bitching about that all week right now, those noon kickoffs.
Yeah, those noon kickoffs too much, man. Too early, man. It's just, we'll be up for it, but it's like, damn, you can't give me a 12:30 kick anyway. Back to the Niners, and I got to give this guy more credit. Nick Bosa, in these primetime games, the last three games, we begged for him to step up. And I think Nick Bosa has stepped up in a major, major way. He's been a one-man record crew in that defensive line, whether it's getting pressure on a quarterback, whether it's him in a run game. I thought Nick Bosa has been exceptional these last 3 weeks, Baldy.
Well, I do too. He has like he's got this conservation of movement. He doesn't do anything extraneous. And he is mixing things up. He's been excellent in the run game. But he's just, you know, his ability to still turn the corner, stay on his feet right now, it's as good as it's ever been. His pursuit of the ball is as good as it's ever been. And he's affecting these throws. Like, you know, the interception, you know, he kisses Dak Prescott. I mean, he's got his head right in his chest when he's trying to throw that football right there. I mean, he had a big part of that. He's playing great. He's playing really, really well right now. And so Ukwuamu played really well. I thought Malik Collins, I think Givens has given him good snaps. So, you know, that's going to be a big part of the second half push is, you know, what kind of depth do they have in the defensive line? Does Nick have to play more snaps than you want him to if you're trying to get to the postseason? It's just one of those factors right now.
If you had to add a piece to this Niners team, Baldy, would it be a D-tackle, D-in, or would it be another wide receiver?
I would go defensive line. You know, maybe a guy that, you remember, like when they had like Arden here, you know, like I thought
Arden
he
Key.
Was a really good
yeah.
Arden Key.
Yeah.
I thought a guy that could be versatile, rush inside, outside like that. He's gone on and he's had himself a really good, you know, career after he left. But I thought a guy like Arden Key, that type of a player, maybe not a starter someplace, maybe a rotational player. Like I'd be combing teams right now. They're not giving those guys away. They cost, you know, they cost some collateral. Some draft capital, but I'd be looking to add depth to the defensive line right now.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like their secondary is really young, but man, watching D'Amino Lenore make play after play, I mean, that guy's just an absolute.
Unbelievable.
He's a great player.
He's a fantastic player, man. Fantastic player.
The way he contorted his body on that interception and to land inbounds, I love watching him play. But, Baldy, I don't even want to ask you about the secondary. You were at the Washington game against the Chicago Bears, correct?
Boy. Yeah.
Yeah, so I watched that whole game. Jaden Daniels, so impressive for a variety of reasons. I was actually impressed with the Bears' defense at times. But at the end of that game, and we were talking about sports karma, Bonte and I. We're going to get into it in a little bit here. But I see a lot of kids, they get to second base now, and they want to do the celebrating or whatever, and they take their foot off the bag, they get tagged. You know what I mean? Premature celebration. I have never in my life seen what that safety was doing, number 29, for the Bears. And then all the videos that everyone's posting right now. I mean, hey, walk us through the whole thing. You're there, you're at the game, and then just you finding out the angle, the video of him with his back to the play. Like, there's just so many elements of it. Just go at it, man.
Yeah, well, that was Tyreek Stevenson, who's a starting corner. He's a good player. Really good player. Look, they did it right. I mean, the key, honestly, was Jaden, because they threw a pass before that with 6 seconds to go, and he hit Terry McLaurin for 13 yards. That got him to the 48-yard line. So now he's at the 48, and now he has a chance to reach the end zone, right? You got to get the ball into the end zone. If you're doing it from 65 yards away, that might be a little hard to get to the end zone. But he held the ball for 12 and a half seconds. And his eyes were down the field, but he needed to get his receivers the time to get down the field. So he's got his eyes up the whole time. It's an instinct. He's eluding the rush of Jacob Martin, you know, a couple different, DeMarcus Walker, a couple different guys. And then he launches it. And, you know, Stevenson, I think, was going to bat it down. And in the midair, he got hit by all the other bodies that were in the air. And the ball ended up getting tipped back to Noah Brown. But, you know, I was talking to Jaden Daniels before the game. He came over and he was just like, I was just checking in. Because it was really questionable whether he was going to play with these ribs. And I just asked him, like, you know, there was never in doubt, right, Jaden? He goes, never, Baldy. I go, did you get enough work in this week? I got enough to be sharp today. The guy ran a no-huddle offense the whole game. He called every single play at the line of scrimmage. All right? And that's against a defense that came into the game, number one in the NFL, with opposing quarterback rating. And he called the entire game at the line of scrimmage.
Wow.
He called out to Mike every play. The play, you know, came in from Cliff Kingsbury. They didn't huddle up one time the whole day. The kid has unbelievable poise.
You know, the Hail Mary play where you said Chicago did everything right, I saw a breakdown the week before Detroit against Minnesota. Minnesota was attempting to mail Hail Mary down, and Detroit said, to hell with it. We're rushing five. We're going to put pressure on you so you can get the ball out quick. So is that going to be a new trend in the NFL? These Hail Marys said, instead of dropping back 7 and 8 and giving the quarterbacks all the time in the world to just throw it up and something fluky happens, maybe we just rush 5 or 6, blitz the hell out of them, make them get the ball out their hands quick. What would you prefer?
I want more rush. Like, T.J. Edwards is there, but he's just fine. Well, Jay Daniels is not running 52 yards.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, give me 4 or 5 rushes. Plus, I'm taking my tallest, most athletic player, and I'm basically guarding the rim. Like, if I had Julius Peppers, if I had Montez Sweat, like, I'm putting a guy 6'6" or taller, and I'm putting him at center field. And when the ball's in the air, I'm going to be a big, strong guy that can jump, and I'm going to have him bat the ball down. Like, I'm going to have him spike it. Like, I'm not playing with defensive backs back there. Like, what's the point of putting a 5'9" defensive back in the end zone? Like, they're just going to get, you know, Alan Lazard caught the Hail Mary from Aaron Rodgers.
For the Jets.
He's 6'5".
Yep.
Like, you know, I'm going to need guys that are, I want a frontline basketball player in the end zone right now. And I want a 5-man rush.
How does the guy, Stevenson, I mean, how do you, if you're a teammate of his, like, looking through the film and everything, I mean, how do you address
this?
Well,
here's what happened, Joe. Here's what happened. So, the Bears, they had an unbelievable fan base there. Like, they must have had 15,000 Bear fans there. So, they just scored the go-ahead touchdown, right? So, the Bear fans are making all the noise. So, they're, like, lining the rim of the stadium. And after they scored, some Commander fans started to leave. So he's like, look, I'm not absolving him here, but he's playing to the Chicago Bears fans. That it feels like my fans are here. I'm gonna let them know we're gonna knock this down. We're gonna win the game. So it looks terrible what they said, but I was in there. You know, I was on the field two and a half hours before kickoff. It was all Bear fans.
Wow.
Like, they came and they traveled. And I was like, literally, there must have been 15,000. Now, they got drowned out because the game was so exciting and Jaden was so good. And, you know, they made, you know, so whatever. But it was, that's all I think the kid was doing. I don't want to kill the kid, but I'll be honest with you.
Real quick, 30 seconds or less. Charvarius Ward, we got a question from a fan. A lot of people have questions about Charvarius Ward. What have you seen on him on film recently? Is he still banged up? Baldy, we've got about 30 seconds. What's your thoughts on Moody Ward?
I mean, he's a highly competitive kid. Like, you want that guy on, you know, against your best receiver. Let him match up. He's going to get a week to rest up. You know, everybody should come back. George, Debo. I still don't know how Debo got off, you know, the pneumonia bed on Monday and played like he'd started a game, played like he did. But I think I want Charvarius on my in my secondary. Renardo's coming on. Like, he made a good stick on you know, on the fumble there going into the end zone.
Yep.
I like the way that they're playing. I like the aggressiveness. You're going to have to challenge these receivers the second half of the season.
No doubt. It should be a lot of fun. Baldy, where are you at this weekend?
I'm in Philly. Jacksonville and Philly this weekend.
Oh, the Jacks. Oh, man. Yeah. Philly quietly are playing some good football.
Putting it together.
They're coming along here. Baldy, we'll talk to you next Tuesday, brother. Keep up the great work.
Okay. Yep, thanks, guys. Talk to you
buddy.
Next week.
Anytime. Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands Guest Line. Don't forget, he was also brought to you by our proud partner, Golden State. Serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Now it's time for the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Our Steph Curry did undergo an MRI yesterday on his left ankle. No structural damage in his ankle. It confirmed this injury as a left peroneal strain. I guess that's another way of saying left ankle sprain. Never heard of that before. But Dr. Rob Pagna, we could grab this out from him. He could explain it. Hey, Dave, have you ever heard of that before? Peroneal strain?
No. And I've had a lot of injuries, as you always tell me.
You have had a lot of injuries, and I thought I studied in biology class. I thought I did.
I know that the foot is something that it's got a lot of muscles. A lot of bones.
And they all ache in my right Achilles, man. I think it's going to give out. McCaffrey, don't ask me for mine. Don't ask me for mine at all. He'll miss these next two games against the Pelicans and be reevaluated. Not now. On Friday. Also, DeAnthony Melton suffered a lower back strain on Sunday. An MRI showed no structural damage either. He'll be reevaluated on Friday. The injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping get your workers get their lives back for over 40 years. All right. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We'll do a little sports karma. We got Warrior stuff. Antonio Daniels, 920. 888-957-9570 is the number. You can give us a call on the 49ers. React to Brian Baldinger. What do you think about this team moving forward here? 4-4 heading into the bye week. They do have some injuries. Let's get into it here on the other side.
Oh, did I get fooled on that?